listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Now, here's your host, Edward Fowler.
Welcome to my show this week, and this is a flashback episode. If you're following me on Instagram at Edward Fowler Show, you will see the poll I did on Wednesday, or Tuesday, to say about who you want to hear from in my next episode, and you all said it was going to be the one, the only, Shane Taylor, the former Ring of Honor TV champion. At the time of the interview, he was the Ring of Honor TV champion, and it was a great conversation I had with him back in 2019. We talked about West Ham, about how he became a West Ham fan. Oh my word. And also about other great things as well, and we discover a lot about Shane Taylor from this conversation. Well, I did anyway. I don't know about you, but I did. So if you want to hear about this, then you can find out right now, because here in full is my full conversation from 2019 with Shane Taylor.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here. But if you're going to give me an introduction, I am not just Shane Taylor. I'm the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, Shane Indeed Taylor, a.k.a. Shane T-Boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen.
There you go. Well, you know, what I say on this show is that this guy doesn't need no introduction, but you just gave yourself anyway, so that's fine. But yeah, tell me then, how did you came to work for Ring of Honor?
You know, 8 years of being, you know, doing the indies, traveling, just putting the time in, trying to hone my craft. Moved down to Texas about 4 years ago now with my trainer best friend Ray Rowe. He was in Ring of Honor at the time, so just traveling with him, going to as many shows as I could, getting my face seen, putting in the work, and making the changes that they told me to make at each turn, and finally they liked what they saw enough to offer me a contract in 2016, and here we are.
Yes, indeed, and here we are, and you came to be the World Television Champion, as you said, and I want to know as well, this question came up on Twitter. You may have saw this question, but I thought to ask this early on in the interview, because then, anyway, he does not know this, because I'm sure he mentions on other podcasts you've done so far, but for anyone who's out there who still don't know the answer, how did you come to be a pro wrestler?
Professional wrestling has always been a dream of mine that I wanted to pursue. When I was younger, I didn't really know how to do it, you know, because there wasn't as many schools like there are today, and you really don't hear about I didn't know about the indies, you know, really. Yeah. When you're a kid, all you really know at the time was, like, WCW had the power plant, and WWE was a place to go. That's really all I knew. So after college, I decided, I was like, I didn't want to get a real nine to five. I'm not good in, you know, a little cubicle or something like that, having some boss tell me what to do. So I ran into Ray Rowe again in Pittsburgh, along with a guy by the name of Jay Myers, a.k.a. J-Rock, give it up one time. told him that, you know, I had aspirations of wanting to be a wrestler. They then took me under their wing, showed me what to do, trained me, taught me just about everything I know. And 11 years later, you know, the Ring of Honor World Television Champion.
Yeah, yeah. And tell me about, then, who's been your favorite opponent to face so far in Ring of Honor?
Well, my favorite opponent so far in Ring of Honor, probably Jay Briscoe. There are just certain guys, and Ray is one of those guys. Jay is one of those guys. Jeff Cobb is one of those guys that brings a certain level of intensity and physicality and violence out of me. Mm-hmm. And when that comes out of me, I feel like I'm at my very best. And so I like being in there with people that bring that out of me, and I bring that out of them. So probably Jay Briscoe and Jeff Cobb, hands down, you know, two of the most physical guys that I've ever been in the ring with other than Ray. And so anytime you get to throw hands with guys like that, it's always going to be a good time.
Yeah, and you two and you guys have great chemistry as well in the ring. And you guys are quite everywhere nowadays, aren't you, on social media? YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you know, everywhere. Everywhere I look, there's always Ring of Honor somewhere lurking and with your face on it, because you're now like the face of the company.
Because they have to now. Now they're upset. Have to put my face on everything. They can't hide me in multi-man matches anymore. They can't put me anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have to be in the center now, and it hurts them to no end. That's fine.
Yeah. It might hurt them, but it's good for you, because now everybody knows.
It's absolutely good for me. Yeah. Everybody needs to know who I am.
Exactly. And why you are one of the most destructive people in Ring of Honor today, I think.
Damn right.
And, you know, when you are preparing for your matches, do you have any strategies of ways to prepare for your opponents, or do you know exactly what you're going to do? You go in there, you clear house, and you get your check, and you get home.
I mean, you have, everybody has plans, right? You know, one of the most famous Mike Tyson quotes is, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You know what I mean? So, I go in there with certain strategies on what I want to do. I'm not really focused on what my opponent does. I don't really go out there to defend or stop anything. I go out there to implement my game plan and impose my will on my opponent. And then you just figure out when you're in there different ways to do that. But for me, pre-match, usually what I'll do is I'll get somebody to like club me in the back as hard as they can, like as many times as it takes for me to get into the right mentality to go out there. You know, my entire life has been me suppressing, you know, anger or all these emotions to, you know, be a normal productive member of society. So when in this line of work, though, I get to let all that go. Feeling that physicality puts my brain in a mindset like, okay, we're getting ready to go into a fight, and all of that comes out of me as soon as I step through the curtain. So those are some of the things that I do to get ready. It's always funny when you see people backstage who've never seen that. You know, they look at me like I'm an absolute nutcase, but it brings the out of me, so it is what it is.
Wow, it's quite interesting to see that, because I thought, you know, many people do some sort of a strategy, a warm-up effort to, you know, prepare for the opponent, you know, even do tapes on their opponents to get in the mind of their opponent. Means any move they try to do, they can reserve it, you know, reserve the move, and do their own moves, means they get the upper hand before it's too late, kind of thing. And now, since that you're the, you know, World TV champion, whatever you want to call it, you've got a target on your back now, haven't you?
I mean, yeah, but I've had a target on my back since I was a kid. You know, I grew up on the east side of Cleveland, Ohio. I was supposed to be nothing. I was supposed to be another statistic. I'm not supposed to be here. Like guys like me that come from places that I come from aren't supposed to be on platforms like this. But here I am nonetheless, successful nonetheless. You know, dominating and doing what I want to do the way I want to do it nonetheless. So. Having the pressure of people coming for my championship is not something that's going to make me bend or break. I welcome all of that, because there's nothing that anybody can do to me in this company that, you know, life hasn't thrown at me already, and I've already beat that, so beating them is nothing.
Yeah. Well, again, Cleveland, Ohio, the worst city to go to, so I apologize for where you come from, but Cleveland is the worst place to come from. Of course, if you're coming from, you know, the greatest city in the world is Manchester, so you need to come and experience the wildest fan base. You know, we're very passionate, we're very eager, because of our soccer. So you need to come to the best city in the world to get to feel what we are wild about, you know, kind of thing. In Cleveland,
Man U?
Man United, yes. Manchester United, yes, of course. It's the best team in the world.
I'm a West Ham guy, man.
Oh, my. You're a Londoner. Pinnock. I think he might have said Arsenal or Chelsea, but West Ham? Really?
Ham, baby. You know what it is, though? You know what it is?
Tell me.
And I know there's the football factory and all that kind of stuff, but I watched Green Street Hooligans. Me and my boys did. And regardless of it being accurate or inaccurate, it was just a hell of a story for us, you know, to just like stick by your boys, stand your ground, don't let anybody try to punk you. And that's kind of how we lived, you know, in Cleveland. So it connected us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so seeing that movie and West Ham being featured in it, I was like, hey, if they're fans of West Ham, I'm a fan of West Ham. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so, And so my last UK tour, I actually got to go to a West Ham game. Shout out to my boy Gary Ward, owner of WrestleGate Pro, for bringing me with him. It was a hell of a game too, man. It was like 4-2, and the energy was insane.
Say,
And the crazy difference too about going to football games versus like American football games here, like. Mm-hmm. You pretty much know, like, both sides are going to score at some point. So there's no real, like, you're happy when your team scores, but, like, you just kind of know it's coming. And then if the other team scores, you're like, that's all right. But with football games, though, the energy is so much different. Like, everybody lives and dies with each goal. Mm. Like, West Ham went up first, and it was the craziest scene you ever wanted to see.
Yeah.
And then I forget who they were playing, but then they scored and tied it up. Right, and the energy in the building went from 100 to 0. Like, you'd have thought we were losing 3-0. Like, I'm like, it's tied. What is wrong with everybody? It's all good. And man, like once the it's crazy. It's such an adrenaline dump, man. But yeah, such a good.
It is. And do you follow much of West Ham?
Do you
follow much of West Ham in the football team?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's my favorite team. Mm-hmm. I'm not any firm though. No, I just like. It.
No, I'm just saying. That means you keep up with what's happening and.
I try my best to with everything that's going on. Like I couldn't tell you. I'm not like a super fan. I couldn't tell you like the whole roster or like the moves that they just did or anything like that.
I just mean that you know where they are on the table. You know.
Roundabout. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I try to stay as informed as I can.
Of course. It's good to know that. And we're looking forward to playing you again in the next season, where we can smash you again.
Oh damn! Listen, I'm gonna have to try to get out there for that game, man.
Yeah, you should. You should come back over here. Be good. If you can get back over here, come to the greatest city in the world, Manchester. If you can get a ticket to come to Manchester, to see it in Manchester, then definitely do so, because then you can feel what Mancunians feel like, because we are very tough, very broad base fans, you know, very hardcore guys here in Manchester, or we used to be, anyway. But yeah, it's good to know that. And speaking of American football, who's your favorite team? The Cleveland Browns?
Of course. You don't even got to ask. Of course,
yeah.
It's the Browns.
Yeah, cool, the Browns. Yeah, the worst team ever. My favorite team.
Oh, it's a lot of disrespect coming from you over there. What do you mean the worst ever? I don't know about that.
But you might be able to argue with me now, because my favorite American football team is Oakland. You know, Raiders, California. You know, but they're moving to Las Vegas next season, which I'm looking forward to. The Vegas Raiders.
Ugh. It's not the same ring.
Oh, see, I knew you were gonna say that. Do you watch much of Major League Soccer?
I don't actually. Not because there's anything wrong with it. I just like don't really see the games on. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's that. Like their marketing is terrible. Like, because I know living in Houston now. Like, we have the Dynamo.
Yes.
But I couldn't tell you when a Dynamo game was. I don't see any commercials for it on TV.
Oh, wow.
The little pamphlets that they give out with the schedule on it, like, I never see those anywhere. Like, maybe if the family order pizzas, you might see one. You know what I mean? But
Understandable. Understandable, because I'm going to say my favorite soccer team in MLS is the Portland Timbers. You know why? Because I have family who live in Portland.
Okay, Ring of Honor was just in Portland.
Nice. Yes, for the first time, wasn't it? First time ever.
Hey, man. And Kent Washington. Yeah. State of the art. It's great.
Yeah. How was the tour? Did you was you on it?
I'm sorry?
Was you a part of the tour?
Oh, of course. I'm the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, baby.
Well, I was making sure you were making the long trip, you know, to the West Coast. And how was the West Coast? You know, will the fans have to see you and, you know, get what Ring of Honor is all about since it's first time on the West Coast?
Absolutely. I think we had two incredible shows. The fans were excellent. They were loud. They were noisy. They were energetic. That's what we live for. It was a hell of a time. I can't wait to go back. And, yeah, going on the West Coast is no problem, man. I have aspirations of defending this World Television Championship all across the world.
Good.
So
good,
because I am willing to go anywhere and everywhere to do so.
Because I hope Ring of Honor comes to the UK for another tour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But do you think they'll come back here? Because they've been here many times before, so I don't see why they wouldn't come back to the UK. I mean, even do a UK tour.
I don't know if we're doing it this year, but I know at some point in the future we will. I think I'm coming over twice later this year.
Where can my listeners find you then in the UK then?
I will be with Fourth Generation Wrestling. I will be with IPW and some more places. Still ironing out everything as we speak, but definitely going to get two tours in, I think, about mid to late September and then early October.
Nice.
I'm definitely coming back to the UK.
Yes.
I love being there. Fans are incredible, and it's going to be one hell of a time.
Yeah, and IPW, who follow me on Twitter, don't know how they know about me, but they do. They're based in London. To anyone who may not know where IPW are based, but they're based in London. I mean, you're going to be down south, aren't you, for your comeback again, for the second part of the UK tour again there when you head over here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, the most crowded areas of the UK. thank you for that. And that is one of my next question. Where can my listeners find you on social media to keep up with all your latest news, where you'll be, you know, appearing at? Where can they find you on social media?
You know, as always, you got Twitter and Instagram at Shane216Taylor. Also, Facebook, you know, Shane. For anybody in the merch buying mood, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/ShaneTaylor or go to ROHWrestling.com. Check out their pro shop. Pick up the Knockouts for Everybody t-shirt. And be on the lookout for one of the new shirts that I'll have out there very, very soon. Appreciate the support. It's been a hell of an 11-year ride so far, and we're just getting started.
Indeed you are. And I can't wait to see what happens after, you know, your TV title won. It'd be so awesome to see you go after the World Championship, you know, and become the actual face of the company, you know, making more appearances, you know, representing the company everywhere. That'd be cool, wouldn't it, as well? Not just right now, of course, you're TV champion. It's still important. But, I mean, the World Champion, that's more huge for you. For me,
it's about focus, right?
Yeah.
The second I stop focusing on being the most dominant Ring of Honor World Television Championship, the most television champion that there's ever been, then I lose that championship. So
of
for
course.
Me, everything is about aiming to be the absolute very best. And for me, that means breaking the records of Jay Lethal, which is 567 days and 35 championship defenses in a single reign. That's what I want to do. That's where my goals are. And that starts at Best in the World live on pay-per-view June 28th in Baltimore against Bandido. Bandido gets the unfortunate task of being the first one to get put to sleep by the Ring of Honor World Television Champion. And then 34 people will follow. And then I'll be coming for Mr. Lethal
So I hope he hears this, and I hope he knows. And I'll be talking plenty more along the way, so there's no way he won't know, but that's exactly what's about to happen.
Yeah, and a message to Jay Lethal, if you listen to this. Number one is Shane Taylor has got your number. Number two is he's going to end your streak, okay? And you're going to become the longest ever champion in history for many, many years to come, where nobody can defeat it in 1 year or 2 years. And it might end your career. So you better watch out, Jay Lethal.
Hey, you said it, man.
Yeah, if you need a mugger, man, I'm the mugger man here. And that leads on to this as well, because you're on the very best podcast in the UK. This is the best podcast in the world. The Leo Fowler Show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you got a question for me or for my guests, then you can find us on Twitter, again, there, @_LeoFowler_, if you want to follow me and get in touch with me. And let me know who you want me to interview next here on the Airfowler Show, because it's a popular decision. You know, when I tweeted out, a lot of people got in touch with me saying, wow, this is a good name. This is a good one to have in your show. So it's like, okay, great. That's good to hear. That's what I do, you know. I've been on the very best people, and you're one of the best in the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Much appreciated again. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. And I want to know, just for curiosity and for my fans to know you a bit more, is what is your favorite food?
Damn, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Just to know, now I'm thinking of everything now, because like the way I like for training and diet and things like that, I don't eat a lot of stuff, so now I'm thinking of all the stuff that I can't have that I want to eat. What could I have right now?
Or when you're on the road, what do you eat when you're on the road, depending on your TV championship?
I gotta eat healthy on the road too, which is tough. But like if I had like something sitting in front of me right now, probably be like a big like medium steak with like some pierogies, like some good potato and cheddar pierogies. I haven't had pierogies in forever. I miss them. So yeah, like steak and pierogies would be the meal right there.
Yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely. Some steak, a few weeks ago we had Ace Austin on the show, and he was talking about having chicken, lovely chicken. Are you a chicken guy as well, or more of a steak guy?
I mean, chicken is leaner when you're training. There's a lot of advantages to eating chicken. I think when you're talking about like favorite meals, though, like I think a lot of people eat chicken out of necessity, not like, you know what I mean, like, yeah, all right, this is the best thing to do, it's the leanest, but there's not too many people I know that if you were like, hey, would you rather have a chicken breast or a nice steak, they're gonna go, oh, chicken breast, of course. Like, I think steak wins out.
Absolutely. What is your favorite color?
Black.
Okay, you need very, very different, very dark, very evil color, isn't it? Black. My favorite.
No, I mean, I think it's misunderstood. Black is just the color. Black is the, what was it? The absence of all color. Is that it?
Yeah.
When you think about it, it's the most unifying of colors, really.
Yeah. Okay. My favorite color is blue, even though I support Man United, even though it's a red team. I could support Man City, but now I don't. United's better. But my favorite color is blue. Like the sky, of course, and like my logo as well. After I contacted you to come on the show, did you do any research of me, or did you thought, let's just see who this unknown person is and see how this goes?
I am a grip it and rip it sort of dude, man. So you asked me to come on the show. I said, sure.
Yeah.
Let us do it. Yeah. No, none of the other stuff. Let's just see what happens. You know what I mean? So.
And are you enjoying the experience so far? Have you made the right decision coming on the show?
I am. The hell of a time. And speaking of the Man City and Man United thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
So now I'm trying to figure out. I've been to Manchester before.
Good. Good.
And just talking to different people, there really is like a divide, like somewhere in the city. I don't know, like east, west, north, south, wherever it is, but there is legitimately like a line where people are like, no, over here we're Man City, over there they're Man U.
Yep. And I can explain it to you as well, because North Manchester are more city fans, okay? And South right. Manchester are more United fans. But you do find a mixture of City and United in both of them areas, but mostly right. North is for City, because their City Stadium is, and South is where United is, their stadium is.
I gotcha.
So I live in the South Manchester area, where Old Trafford is, so... You know, it makes sense, doesn't it? but yeah. So he's one kind of.
I feel like they could have a big tourist thing. Big tourist thing. If they drew like a line in the city and just said, "Right here is the side, is the line." You know what I mean? You could like have so many like face off pictures with people on the line, like, you know, defending their side of the city.
That's not a bad idea. I think it would get put to the Manchester Council and see what we can see what they can do with that. If anyone from Manchester Council listens to this,
I want my royalties.
Yes, of course. If they listen to this, they can say Shane Taylor says this kind of
right. thing, Shane know? Taylor line.
Yeah, it'd be good. So. Have you got any plans to wrestle in, you know, in Europe and maybe even Asia or Australia? If you haven't already wrestled there,
I would love to do all of those things. You know, I see great things. Australia is really hot right now, and the Asian market for pro wrestling is constantly growing and expanding and evolving. There's talks about, you know, going to South Africa. So I mean, there that's is, cool. You know, there are places all over the world, and to see wrestling, you know, be as popular as it is right now, I definitely want to be a part of that and take advantage of that, and have those experiences. So I am anxious to not only go to those places, but eventually, hopefully get to Japan as well. It's been probably my number one career goal since I started, and now everything that I do is geared up towards getting ready to eventually get that opportunity and make the most of that. So I'm excited to go anywhere and everywhere that wants to have me.
There you go. And it'd be cool, you know, because Japan is like the, let's say, the WWE version of America. Because Japan is like... The A business. Like, anyone in Japan always want to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know. While in America it's about WWE, but in Japan it's about New Japan Pro Wrestling. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and for me, it's there's something that I always was drawn to about the respect and the reverence that Japanese culture has for professional wrestling and its wrestlers. You know, it's viewed differently there than it is here. The fans are different than they are here, and some of the guys that I watched the most growing up, being Bader and Stan Hansen, you know, made their careers in Japan.
Of course. And so yeah, it'd be good to see you become a star in Japan, like Stan Hansen and Bader, as you said. So then, you spoke earlier about. One of the upcoming shows for Ring of Honor. What other upcoming shows do you know of for Ring of Honor coming up?
Well, I think, you know, obviously the first one, you know, that comes to mind is Best in the World, you know, June 28th, live on pay-per-view. Head on over to ROHWrestling.com. Sign up for Honor Club. Not only do you get to have the entire archives of, you know, day one of ROH up until now, but you get half off of all pay-per-views. You get instant access to all our live stream shows, live events, and then we go to Philly the next day to tape TV.
Nice.
And then any other dates that you want to check out, head on over to ROHWrestling.com. Check out our live events page. See when Ring of Honor is coming to your town and make sure you don't miss it.
Yeah, or if you do miss it, then you can be a square, can't you? You know. also check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/Ring of Honor, as well. Because they have the events of where they're heading to. Also, you can find them on Twitter as well. I think they're just called ROH on Twitter, are they?
At Ring of Honor.
At Ring of Honor, there you go. At Ring of Honor. ROH for short in the actual name when you search it on Twitter, though. If you just have an ROH, it does pop up as well, like that. And also on Instagram as well. They're on Instagram, aren't they? Ring of Honor, or is it just ROH?
course.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor.
Yeah. You mentioned your social media before, and I was quite surprised you mentioned Snapchat. Like, many wrestlers do not do a public Snapchat for their fans. Just like, do you actually do a Snapchat or not?
I don't do Snapchat because people are weird. And the last thing I want to get in a bunch of pictures and a bunch of nonsense to add further stress to my life. So
I see.
I stick to the basic social media stuff and promote that, and we're good.
Fair enough. Well, it's been a pleasure being on the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this has been fun for you. And I apologize as well in advance if any of these questions were brought up on another podcast you've been up on as well. So I apologize for that in advance if I have. Because I hate to ask the same question, because then these people might think, ugh, asking the same question again. Like, can't they think of something else better to ask?
Not at all. One of the greatest quotes that I was ever told in the sport was by William Regal. And it was, you know, go out there and perform like nobody knows you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like people are seeing you for the very first time. So this is an introduction of myself to your fan base, a fan base that they may have not ever heard of me or Ring of Honor or anything else that I've done.
Yeah.
You know, so that introduction is just fine. So those questions are perfect.
That was my interview with Shane Taylor. It's amazing as well. Like, how many years ago that was? Like, 5 years ago. It doesn't seem 5 years to me. It seems like yesterday, but it has been 5 years since Shane Taylor graced my show, basically. And it was a pleasure having him on the show. And I'm sure he's doing great things in 2024. Let me know if you want to see Shane Taylor back on my show anytime soon, or any of the other previous guests on the show from what I've uploaded so far in this flashback series. And I hope you all enjoy the rest of your Friday. There's going to be another flashback episode next Friday, same place, same time, where I think I will post who I want to hear from next week instead of doing a poll. I'm going to try that out. I hope you like what I pick. Until then, enjoy the rest of your morning, night, evening, or afternoon. And the next episode will be coming out on Monday from my interview or conversation with Emmy Lanito from Friday. What a great, great person it was to speak with on Friday. It's available on YouTube right now, but it'll be coming to audio sites on Monday morning. When you wake up, it'll be there for you to download and to listen. It's a wonderful chat, quite inspirational as well, so do check it out. It was wonderful to speak with Emmy Lentino on Friday night.
You've been listening to The Edward Fowler Show. Subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts to get new and flashback episodes every week. More on Facebook and Instagram at Edward Fowler Show and edwardfowlershow.com.